Good morning. Welcome to Mother's Day 2020. It'll be a virtual Mother's Day this year. We're all going to have to get creative about how we express our love to our mothers. I assume that you can send flowers and other types of things like that to her. So let's just remember that when this is all over, we're all going to have to catch up on all of the things that were supposed to happen, like graduations and birthdays and anniversaries, and now Mother's Day. And who knows what else? I have an appointment with a fish that I haven't met yet, but I'm going to try to get going with normal life again. And let's just pray that the Lord will get us to a normal life and existence again soon. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this morning. And of course, we thank you for our mothers. Some of us, our mothers have been in heaven or just left to heaven recently. Some of us, our mothers are still with us, and we want to express our love and our concern for their lives. We want to be concerned for them, should I say. And because of the way things are, we can't go take them out. We can't do the things that we normally would do to show her how much we care. So we just pray that you'll give us creative ways to express our love and our concern for our mothers. We pray that you would also help us, Lord, to understand that this won't all be going on for the rest of time. We will have a return to some semblance of normal life again. So help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to be optimistic about the future and not pessimistic. Help us, Lord, to trust you with our lives, with our future, for that is your nature. We are by nature kind of pessimistic, many of us. And we look at things and things tend to make us fearful. We pray that you would remove fear from our hearts, our minds, and give us confidence to restart our lives, to restart our businesses. Maybe this opportunity, because that's the way I look at this. So help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to be optimistic about the future and not pessimistic. Help us, Lord, to trust you with our lives, with our future. For that is your nature. We are by nature kind of pessimistic, many of us, and we look at things and things tend to make us fearful. We pray that you would remove fear from our hearts, our minds, and give us confidence to restart our lives, to restart our businesses. Maybe this opportunity, because that's the way I look at this whole thing, it's an opportunity for lots of things, for evangelism, for a restart in career, for a restart in a business, we don't know. So whatever your will is, help us to find that will, help us to live in that will, and help us to have confidence in what your will shall be for our futures. We pray for those who are grieving. Many have lost loved ones, many even to this virus, but many to other things too. There are still heart attacks, there's still cancer, there's still strokes, there's still many things that happen to people. So we just pray for people that have lost loved ones recently. They can't be comforted the way they normally would. We ask in Jesus' name that you, by the Holy Spirit, would give people comfort and that you would help them to continue to go day after day as they go through the process and the cycle of grief. We ask also, Lord, that you'll give us a tremendous sense of peace because we need that. And you are the Prince of Peace. And with you, there is eternal peace. So may the peace of God be upon your people and even upon those who don't know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take your sermon notes and follow along as we look at our special message for Mother's Day, okay? Now, I want to explain to you something about what the Bible teaches concerning honoring your mother and your father. There's a lot of information in the scriptures. I was even researching and listening to other teachers about what's going on concerning families and concerning parenthood. And the statistics that are out there are a little bit depressing. And I don't want to talk about that because I want us to be uplifted and I want us to be encouraged that no matter what the situation is out there, no matter what kind of a family situation you have or have had or might be having, I want to encourage you. Because the scriptures give us encouragement. In the midst of difficulty, in the midst of strife and trouble, I think that we can have a semblance of normalcy. As God told his people when they were taken into captivity into Babylon, he wanted them to plant vineyards. He wanted them to have families. He wanted them to build homes. So in the midst of whatever's going on in life or in world or in the world history, I think we should continue and have faith in God and what he plans for our future, even if things look bleak. Let's not look at the bleakness of life. Let's look at God and the glorious day that he's going to bring to us one day. So follow along in your sermon outline. And I'm going to look at a passage here in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is speaking to a minister named Timothy, who is a preacher in Ephesus. Ephesus is now modern-day Turkey. And he tells them that certain things were going to happen in the end of time, in the end of the age. And this scripture passage has been used many, many times for various prophetic kind of utterance and teaching. But I want to hone in on the issue of parenthood here. He says this, in the last days, difficult times will come. Well, we're in difficult times. We know that. People will be lovers of selves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, and it goes on. So parental disrespect is one of the things that will characterize end times. And we know that our culture is suffering from a tremendous family breakdown, and it's been going on for some time. It is what it is. I've said to many of you in the church that you need to make the best of whatever your life situation is. Even if you had a real difficult home life and a family background and things weren't leave it to beaver kind of a thing, I think we all need to try to make the best of what God gives us. Once we come to know him, start there. Start by making decisions to make the kinds of decisions that will make your family and your parenthood good, even if it's something that has been negative. If you've suffered a divorce or you're a widow or a widower, or if you've been betrayed, or if your kids don't like you or talk to you, all of these different things that happen in today's culture. On top of the fact that just having kids is a difficult thing anyway. So we come to Mother's Day, and I often am reminded of the fact that many women, it's not a really great day for them, okay? Because first of all, a lot of women can't have children or couldn't have children or didn't want to have children. So many, the emphasis on Mother's Day in churches and in culture, I think makes a lot of people feel left out. And here at this church, we always try to recognize every woman in the church. We pass out flowers, we give them to every woman in the church. And I think we do that because all of us have had a mother, even though that mother may have not been what you would have signed up to have. Because I've talked to many different people, and I know that some of you were raised without the ideal family situation, or maybe your mother gave you up for adoption, or maybe who knows what the story is. But I will say this, for Mother's Day, you can celebrate. Because even if you've never had children or never will have children, the Bible actually says this, that the barren woman will have more joy than the woman who had many children. Because in ministry with the Lord, you can have an influence in the lives of other people that is very much like a mother. So let's celebrate motherhood in all of its facets, not just for the women who physically had babies, but for all women, because we owe a debt of gratitude to them, right? Now, Israel, the people of God historically, okay, from Genesis all the way to the coming of Christ and into the future to the end of time, Israel is God's chosen group of people that brought to us the law of God, the teaching of God, and the Messiah of God. But they also have a history that is really worth looking at, and it's in the Old Testament. They are a historic example for all things. But in the case of parenthood, in the case of honoring parents, they had a failure, and God points it out in Ezekiel. They're in captivity already. They're in Babylon. And Ezekiel lists why they had been taken into captivity, why they had lost their nationhood. And it's an historic example of people who failed in honor to their parents. And it's one of the reasons that people groups, nation groups, get into trouble. And here's what the word of the Lord says in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 22. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, will you judge her? Will you judge this city of bloodshed? He's speaking of Jerusalem here. Then confront her with all her detestable practices and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O city that brings on herself doom by shedding blood in her midst and defiles herself by making idols. You have become guilty because of the blood you have shed and have become defiled by the idols that you have made. You have brought your days to a close and the end of your years has come. This is God speaking to his people and speaking to the capital city of his people, Jerusalem. Therefore, I, God, will make you my people, the Jewish people, an object of scorn to the nations and a laughingstock to all the countries. Those who are near and those who are far away will mock you, O infamous city, full of turmoil. See how each of the princes of Israel who are in you uses his power to shed blood. In you, they have treated father and mother with contempt. In you, they have oppressed the alien and mistreated the fatherless and the widows. So what I'm pointing out here is that Israel's historic example of failure in honoring parents is one of the reasons that nations find themselves at odds with God. Now, many who teach these things prophetically point at our culture, at America, where we're at, and we're definitely at the end, and tomorrow America's done for. I've heard those kinds of teachings ever since I was a young Christian. Now, I can't speak for God as to when a nation ceases to exist or when God decides that he's going to judge that nation. I know that there's many things that happen in nations that God has a lot to do with. It's everything. God is sovereign over all things. But at the same time, I want us to have a positive outlook, even though I said I wanted to be encouraging to you. I kind of start out this sermon with a negative kind of a start scripturally. But it's for the purpose of saying this. Even though things are negative, I know that we can change things. I know that the historical example of Israel was that God said to them that even though they had been taken from their nationhood status into captivity as slaves in the Babylonian Empire, he sent a prophet, that same prophet Ezekiel, to tell them, you need to get married, you need to have kids, you need to build houses and plant vineyards. You need to continue to live. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. No matter what has happened in your family, maybe your parents overdosed, maybe they're on drugs or alcohol even now. We have somebody in the church, both parents, mother and father, within 1 year died of alcoholism. And he watched that happen, and he's only a young man. And I want to encourage you, Michael, in that. I want to encourage you. It doesn't matter. It's okay. Even though that happened in your life, God can use that to make you a better believer and a witness. He's done that with me. I saw that happen with my father. He didn't die of alcoholism, but he did have lots of problems with that issue, okay? And our family suffered under it. I want to encourage you all. Listen, if you're a believer, if you've come to Christ, if you know that you are saved, you can now take the Bible, you can take the teachings of the Word, and you can begin to build something new, change the history and the pattern of your family, make it different. Even if you failed many times, God doesn't look at failures and pull out his little black book and every time we mess up again, make a check mark on it. God wants us to start with a fresh page. That's why he offers us forgiveness. That's what forgiveness can do. It can bring a fresh start to your life. So let's start with that, okay? You need to honor your parents because honoring our parents is the law of God. In the scriptures, there's the Ten Commandments law of God, which was not imposed on the church in the New Testament, okay? The commandments are repeated. All 10 of them are repeated to the church, but only 9 of them are emphasized and not put as law on the church. The Sabbath one is the one that isn't put on the church because they started to meet on the Lord's Day, which was the day after Sabbath. That's why we actually meet on Sundays, because we meet on the day the Lord rose from the dead. Now, he reemphasizes in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit does, to the church all of the laws of God, but not as an imposition of thou shalt not, but now that you are in the new covenant, now you can live up to this, okay? So honoring your father and your mother is in Exodus 20, the famous passage of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Paul the Apostle later on says of this commandment, it is the first commandment in the Ten with a promise. The promise is that you'll live a long life and God will bless you. I'm actually convinced that many people who live into old age, people that live into the 100-year mark, I think that if you went back and looked at how they treated their parents, not everybody, but most, I think, you would probably find, I can't prove it, but one day when we get into eternity, we'll see it. You're going to find that they probably treated their parents with honor. Even though they may have not been Christians, if they treat their parents with honor, God notices it. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, what does it mean to treat a parent with honor? What is the command to honor? Okay, and I want to try to show you this a little bit, emphasize it. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ taught this. He reiterated the honoring of father and mother. This man comes up to him in Mark chapter 10. A man ran up to Jesus and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus answered, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. And do not defraud. And honor your father and your mother. Now, Jesus gives it in reverse order, because honor your father and mother is the first of the second tablet. But he starts with the second tablet and goes in reverse order, because this particular man had a different problem. And we're not preaching about that this Sunday. His problem was he didn't put God first. So the young man tells Jesus that he did all of this since he was young. Teacher, he declared, all these things I have kept since I was a boy. He's done the second tablet really, really well. I've honored my parents. I've treated my fellow human beings as good as I could. Okay, so Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go, sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Now that was his basic issue. He was great with doing the social interaction with people. He honored his parents. He was fair. He didn't hurt people around him. But when it came to God, that's why Jesus started with the second tablet in this. When it came to God, he couldn't let go of all of his wealth and his success to follow God. That was his main issue. But what I'm trying to point out here is that Jesus says to him that honoring your father and mother is the commandment of God. Now, when you practice this, I want you to notice something here in this passage. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Only one other place in scriptures can I think of God saying this of someone. It was David's son, the replacement son with him and Bathsheba. Bathsheba and David conceived a child out of wedlock. That child died, even though David fasted and prayed all night for him. But the next son that was born was Solomon. And the Bible says this, and God loved him. And here we see Jesus saying, he looks at him and he loves him. Why did God love him? Why did the Lord love this man? Because he was practicing this honoring of father and mother. He was good to the people around him. And that's getting really close to the way that God wants you to be. A lot of us, we have no trouble saying, I love God, I just don't love people. Because people are sinful, people fail, people hurt us, and we get cynical and we start treating people, even in families, especially in families. Things happen and people carry it around with them for the rest of their lives. I want to encourage you to drop all of that stuff and say, okay, God, you took me through that education process. Now help me to use it so that I can be an encouragement to others around me. So God will love you if you practice this honor your father and your mother. Now I know, just instinctively I know, because of my conversations with so many different people and our experiences in life, there's a lot of people that are bitter and angry because of the way their family life was. Maybe you were abused. Maybe you were hurt. All kinds of things surface like that, okay? I know that those are realities, still though. The Bible never says, honor your mom and your dad if they were nice. Honor your parents if they were okay. By the way, the word parent here means mom, dad, mother-in-law, father-in-law, grandpa, grandma. It means to honor. Indeed, if you study this thing, God expects honor of even older people. So we need to, it says in Proverbs, rise up in the presence of the gray-headed man. So this teaching of having respect and honor, the reason it is emphasized, especially in the second tablet, is this. If you cannot honor your own parents, if you cannot honor your own family, how will you honor God? How will you love God? How, indeed, that's why a lot of people don't like God. They don't like God because they project upon God the failures of their own family life or their own life, and they blame him for putting them in the situation that they lived in. Now, I know that some of you have lived difficult situations. I know that. I did too. But I've always tried to look at my family experience. Now that when I became a Christian and as I reflected on it through the years, I realized that I learned a lot. I'm actually really good in crisis. And one of the reasons I'm good in crisis is because when you have an alcoholic parent, there's nothing but crisis all the time. So I got taught how to handle crisis. And that made me a better person in the midst of crisis. And since there's so much crisis all around us, it makes me a better Christian and a better minister. Now, I'm just trying to emphasize here, if you practice this, honor your father and your mother, even though you feel like you can't, some of you, even though you might think, well, they're dead, what can I do now? Honor them in your heart, honor their memory. God used them to bring you into this world. Well, I never knew my mom, I never knew my dad. Doesn't matter, honor them. God used them to bring you into this world. You're alive. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're guaranteed heaven. All things will be explained to you when you get there. Honor your folks. Honor your family. Honor God. And the next thing you got to remember is what Jesus told this man. Remember to follow me. Because his issue was he couldn't follow God first. He had no problem with doing all of the other social interaction, but he had problems with putting God first. We need to put God first. Now, the Lord, he modeled this issue of honoring in real life. When the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, the Bible says in John chapter 1, what he became was 100% human. He was in a real human family. He saw real human tragedy. He was betrayed even by his own family. They didn't believe in him until after he rose from the dead. He experienced everything that we have experienced. But he modeled that in spite of the misunderstanding of the family, in spite of the dynamics of family, if you will, politics and all of that, still Jesus was able to model how you honor your mother. Watch this. And this is a famous story, okay? He's on the cross. He's dying for the sins of the world. No one knows it yet. Not even his mother, not even the disciples. They don't understand this yet. Why is he dying on the cross? Why does he have to die like that? We don't want the Messiah to die. We want him to be a king and take over the empire. Well, we needed something more than that. We need something more than just a great politician. We need a savior who can save us from something that's deep inside of us, our own sin. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, that means his aunt, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, that would be John, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "John, here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. John the Apostle won't even give his own name because he had learned the issue of humility really well by watching Jesus Christ. Now, what's Jesus modeling here? He's the eldest in a family of many brothers and sisters. His father, Joseph, was dead already. We know this because he's taking the time to take care of this last bit of earthly business. He's putting his house in order, so to speak. Many of us need to do this. Put your house in order. Get a will. Get life insurance. All of those things. Put your house in order in case, because we live in a world that is temporal and you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. So have your house in order. And Jesus Christ takes the time to say to his disciple, John, this is your mother. That means he's not making Mary something or someone to be worshipped because she's Jesus's mother. He's giving the responsibility as the eldest son. He's giving the responsibility of caring for his mother to John. Now, why doesn't he give it to one of his other brothers? The Bible actually teaches in the Gospel of John that his brothers didn't believe in him until after he rose from the grave. So he wasn't willing to put his mother, the charge of his mother's care, in a non-Christian. He wanted one of the Christians to take care of his mother. He wanted John the Apostle, who knew the teaching of the Lord, to be the one who cared for his mother into her old age. And that's what he did. He did it, and he says he took her into his home. The Lord modeled honoring. Because when I said, what is this honor commandment about? Does it mean send her flowers and a card and chocolates and roses on Mother's Day? Or take her out for a nice dinner? I think that that is the minimum of what we should do. That's the minimum, people. The Bible actually teaches that the word honor, it comes from the same word as weight. It's a heavy responsibility. Indeed, Jesus teaches about this more in the New Testament. He teaches that we have to actually honor them by caring for them. The apostles reiterated this teaching. They got this. They understood this. They were Jewish. They knew the scriptures. And in Ephesians 6, Paul the apostle reiterates the issue. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. So Paul the Apostle now individualizes it. Many people and theologians have said that the commandments were for the national covenant with Israel. But even though it's a national covenant, all national covenants and responsibilities boil down to individuals. We're individuals in a country. What are you doing? So the Holy Spirit is telling Paul the Apostle to make sure that he teaches this. Honor your father and mother. Why? Because we need to be reminded that this is a real weighty and important duty that we all have. It is a duty that is heavier than you understand. And it is more than just going and seeing her once in a while and sending her a card here and there or a text message here and there. It is checking up on her. Or him, if your dad's still alive, or your grandpa or your grandma. I mean, the extension is inferred, okay? Now, God expects this. He expects this honor thing in all realms, in human realms and in spiritual realms. The reason he's, if you will, inculcated this, the reason he's almost written this into the fabric of our existence is, it is the basis of submitting ourselves to God. A son honors his father, and a servant his master, Malachi 1:6. If I, God, am a father, where is the honor due to me? You guys are doing this on earth, but what about me? If I'm the master, where's the respect that is due to me, says the Lord Almighty? Why is God saying this? Is he lonely up in heaven and hurt feelings? Not at all. He's simply emphasizing to humanity that we cannot forget that honor is important in human realms, and it's especially important in the spiritual realm, because you won't be able to please God if you're not honoring him. That's why the commandments start that way. Have no other God before me. So we need to expect or understand that God expects this. And when you and I get into eternity, you're going to see why you must have honor for him, why you must show respect for him. It's because he is a king and he sits upon a throne, and you and I can't just rush into his throne room and pretend like there's no respect to be shown to him. Indeed, he has angels that guard his throne. You can't even approach him without his permission. But yet, because he loves us so much, the Bible teaches this, we will sit with him on his throne. That's an amazing thing. It reminds me of your dad when he would sit you on your lap, his lap, and let you drive with him, and you thought you were driving. It's going to be cool. Now, the Lord, he clarifies this issue of honor, okay? This is something that when I've listened to teachers teaching this, the honor of father and mother, I'm not seeing this emphasized enough, and I want to. I want to emphasize this because I think the scriptures really emphasize it. When he replies to this almost attack that his detractors gave to him, he says this to them in Matthew 15:3. He replied, "Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God has said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death." I didn't get to talk about that part of the commandment because it was such an important commandment that in the Old Testament law, the covenant law with Israel, death penalty wasn't just first degree murder. Death penalty was if you cursed your mother or father, it was a death penalty offense. That's how weighty of a matter God made it to be. If you got yourself in trouble that way and ended up in front of a judge in ancient Israel, and they could prove, because two or three witnesses could say, "Yeah, I heard him curse his mom and dad," then you were going to be on death row. Okay. Now, obviously, we don't do that now. And there's probably a lot of problem for, issues in that in our culture. In schools, teachers are afraid to confront bad behavior with kids. And counselors are afraid to confront bad behavior with kids. And principals are afraid to confront the parents of the bad behavior with the kids. And everybody's afraid, and the parent is afraid to confront the bad behavior of the kid because they might get in trouble. Everybody's afraid of the kid except for the kid. Everybody's afraid except the kid. We have become a kid-centric kind of a world, and that's unfortunate because kids need the adult guidance of adults. We need to stop being afraid of kids and be adults in their lives and help them to transition from children into adulthood. Now, he says this, "You say, if a man says to his father or mother," speaking to the Pharisees, "whatever help you might have received from me is a gift I devoted to God, he is not to honor his father with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition, you hypocrites." So what's going on here? Jesus is taking apart one of their laws. What had happened was this. They used the law of God to find a way to make money from families. Because the law of God, honor your father and your mother, it meant money. That's what it meant. It meant to take care of them. There was no social network back then. There were no old folks' homes. You were expected to take care of your own family. The Bible taught this. And they found a little loophole and they said, "Oh, if you give your money that you're going to give to your mom and dad, if you give it to the temple and you say it's for God, then you're not responsible for your mom and dad." And Jesus criticized this. Jesus went after this. It's really important that you understand, taking care of your folks is not just sending them a card. Taking care of your folks is not just saying, "Well, they're on Social Security, they got retirement, they're okay." It's much deeper than that. God expects us to care for them. God expects us to care for them well into their aged times. A lot of people would ask me, why does God have us live into this time of life where we're senseless and we can't take care of ourselves anymore and we don't know what we're talking about and dementia sets in and all of those things? Why? The reason I think that God allows it to happen is to, if you will, stretch those who are able to take care of people, those who should be taking care of them, those who should be involved in that. There was no such thing many years ago as an old folks home. It's a modern phenomenon where we're all too busy to take care of the relationships that matter. We should all think this through. Now that all of us have been, if you will, forced to stay at home, and I believe that God is sovereign on this, there's reasons for it. Many of us just drop our kids off at school and we say, "You take care of them." And nobody can take care of the kids anymore because everybody's out of control. Now that your kids are at home with you, how many of you are having real trouble now? How many of you are really starting to understand the behavior patterns of your children now that you have to stay with them 24/7? So now you can get a little bit of a feeling for what it's like to be a teacher taking care of your kids. So maybe we need to start rethinking about a lot of the way we're doing family. Is it right for us to just dump them off? Shouldn't we take care of them a little bit more, be a little bit more involved in their lives, be more concerned about what they're learning morally and ethically, and not just educationally? I think God wants us to think this through. So Jesus soundly and roundly criticizes and attacks this false teaching of not caring for your folks. So honor means, if what we've learned so far, honor means to hold them in high esteem, to listen to them, to take their advice as much as we can if it doesn't conflict with God's word, and to also physically and materially take care of them. Maybe some of you can't take care of your folks because you're both working. I understand that. But if you are both working, you should have a little extra to take care of the needs of your folks, okay? Now, if you have any questions about that, please email me. Many special situations might be there, and I can clarify that more for you, if you will. I'm not trying to throw a guilt trip on people. What I'm trying to do is emphasize that I think the scriptures and God are teaching us that we have a responsibility that is much more weighty than we understand. That when we stand in front of God one day, he will ask us about this. Okay. Now, believers need to adopt this issue of honoring. We need to adopt this into the way we live. It should be a characteristic trait of Christians. And many Christian fellowships, we don't have this. And I think it's sad. I think a lot of things that should be evident within Christendom is not. Indeed, when you look at Christendom, a lot of times you see the same problems that the world is having inside of the church. And I think we need to start making a better example in our lives. We, the people of God, should be different. Now, I know that some of us are just coming out of worldly backgrounds, and we don't know how to properly live and behave. Well, learn, read, go on a crash course in the Bible. Start learning the way you should live. If a widow has children or grandchildren, Paul the Apostle speaking to a pastor, the same pastor Timothy, they, the children or grandchildren of the widow, should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice. In some versions, it says, put your faith into practice by caring for your own family. And so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. I just got reminded of something. Somebody once told me, I've been taking care of my folks and they're not grateful for it. They don't even thank me for it. They don't care about it. You're not doing it for that. Look what it says here. This is pleasing to them. No, it's pleasing to God. God's watching this. Even if your parents, maybe the old age phenomenon in their lives has caused them to become more childlike and less grateful and less thankful. It's part of growing old, I've noticed. And I need to encourage you in this. Don't do it for the temporal, please say thank you to me effect. Do it because it's pleasing to God. That's what the Bible teaches. You should adopt this. You may not get along with your folks. Doesn't matter. Take care of them. Love them. Honor them. Your parents, your grandparents. This is part of every culture. And it's something that in times past you didn't even have to teach. But the Apostle Paul makes sure, and the Holy Spirit, that this is codified in the scriptures for the New Testament because of the terrible times that will come in the end. Even though all around us everything's falling apart, doesn't mean that we should adopt the way the world is behaving. We Christians should model this, okay? Now, if you reject this, to reject this is to reject faith, because it says, continuing in 1 Timothy, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Notice how stringently the Apostle Paul puts this. In my career, I guess you would call it, I don't look at it as a career, but as a life that I've been living to try to serve God. Not perfectly. I've made plenty of mistakes, and I will make more, I'm sure. But in my career, I've noticed that when it comes to divorces and divorce settlements and alimony and child support and all of this stuff, I've noticed even Christians really stingy about this stuff. And you know what? They're your kids. You're supposed to provide for them. Yeah, but she'll just take it and go party. That's not the issue. You're kids. You need to provide for them. You need to give them material sustenance, especially if you can't be there physically. I mean, this is a teaching in the scriptures. We are to do this. Because if we don't, we're rejecting the faith, the Apostle Paul says. We're rejecting the faith. The faith teaches us to care for our own family, to take care of our own family. Jesus took care of his mother as he's dying for the whole world's sin. So should we. Now, honor your father, your mother. Honor your mother and your father. The whole thing about honoring mom and dad is an issue of honoring your family. If you really want to honor them, then follow Christ. They may not even want you to follow Christ. Maybe they criticizing you. Maybe they criticize you for following Christ. But don't worry about that. Follow Christ. Look what happened here in Jesus' lifetime on earth. Someone told him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they want to speak to you. He replied to him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? He points to his disciples and he says, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother and my brother and my sister. What's Jesus saying here? Is he saying he doesn't care about his mother? Because it says in the other gospels, he went and he talked to them. Okay. Even though they didn't agree with what he was doing by doing the will of God on earth, even though they thought he should do it differently, you got to follow Christ, follow the Lord first, and you still have to love your family. You still have to care for them, but you honor them and your family and your friends by putting God first. When you do that, Jesus said it this way, you seek first the kingdom of God and then all things will settle out. Everything will get prioritized correctly. God first, everything else second. God first, family second. God first, marriage second. God first, me second. God is first. Now, it goes against human nature to live our lives that way. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. That's why you need the Word of God, because the Word of God corrects us. It teaches us. It admonishes us. It helps us to live our lives the way God would have us live them. You need to be in the Word of God. God's not going to just presto change you when somebody lays their hands upon you and suddenly you're going to be this model Christian and you do everything right. You have to be taught, just like a child. You have to be taught. Paul the Apostle said, when I was a child, I thought like one. When you become a Christian, you're like a child. He has to teach you. He has to disciple you. He has to help you to grow. So I want to encourage you all. I don't care what stage of Christian life you are at. You can continue to be taught and discipled by the Lord. It's really important. Honor your mother for Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, all of you mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day to those of you who never even had children. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the teaching of the word. I just barely scratched the surface here. I've introduced some concepts that might be controversial in the lives of many people. But your word, Lord, is always controversial because we live in a fallen world. And because many of us have adopted wrong thinking and wrong teaching about the way life and family life and my relationship with a mom and dad and my friends and my family and my fellow churchgoers should be. Help us, Lord, to be discipled by your word. Help us to honor our mothers by following you. Honor them by caring for them. Honor them by being involved with them. Honor them by being good stewards of the life that you gave to us through them. In Jesus' name, amen.